This is part two of a long-form interview with Ottawa County Commissioner Jacob Bonnema. Part two picks up with Bonnema and family on vacation. He receives texts saying heads are rolling while an Ottawa County Board of Commissioners meeting is going on. Bonnema was sworn in December and had that vacation planned and felt comfortable taking off as planned until those texts started coming.
Going back to this meeting in November where we talked about what we wanted to accomplish, one of the things that I really pushed was that slow is smooth and smooth is fast. When you don't do things smoothly, all of a sudden it's like chutes and ladders, right? All of a sudden you're down the chute and now you're spending a lot of time trying to fix the thing that you broke and having to do, you know, it's like measure twice, cut once. It's the same. And, you know, when I talked to the business leaders in Zealand, they said, we want to see incremental change.
I see.
We are voting for change.
Oh, yeah. We knew that. Yeah.
But we want to see it done incrementally.
I see. Okay.
And that makes sense to business people and just the common world because everybody wants to know how to plan. You know, like if there's change that's coming, what is it so that I can plan for it?
So
give me some stability.
So did you go on YouTube and watch the meeting from a beach chair after your phone's blowing up?
Yeah, I went up to the room.
That's what I would have done too.
I
got to get out of here. Yeah.
You know, try to like focus for a minute to see what's going on. And then I was so disgusted.
Here you are on vacation. Oh my gosh.
Because I thought these guys are literally blowing holes in their boat even before they get out of the harbor.
Wow.
They are breaking trust. My advice to them was let's come in. Let's get to know these department directors.
Mm-hmm.
Let's ask questions, learn why things are the way that they are, and then work with them to, if we need to bring in some new hires, we let them see us bring in some competent people.
Mm-hmm.
Daisy chain some small wins together.
Mm-hmm.
I told them we have 2 years to enjoy as commissioners, which isn't a ton of time, but it's time where we could actually show them that, you know, if they were concerned about us being extreme or all these things,
mm-hmm.
that we really just wanted to give the power of the local government back to the people and help them be heard and their needs met again in the way they felt it wasn't being met when we talked to them on the campaign trail. Well, you know, they held up John Shea's head to the audience, right? They lopped his head off at the meeting. I thought that's going to break trust with the entire building.
Because
in my short experience in the building, I knew how much the building respected John Shea.
Right.
And then
because you had done all this proactive stuff leading up to being sworn in.
Right. And then they got rid of our attorney as well, who had been there for 40 years. I mean, that guy knows where every skeleton's buried in Ottawa County and then some. I mean, a lot. The institutional knowledge of those two men alone that you are pushing out the door that you're not going to be able to glean from because of that. And then, you know, what you've now done with all of the people who have worked with those people for so many years and trust them. You've broken those relationships. You've now, if you want to characterize yourself as a fresh wind blowing into Ottawa County, you've just blown that out of the water. You've broken trust with, you know, so many of the people that you hope to lead. That was my problem. So I had been assured by Joe Moss that this was not going to happen, that we were not going to make any of these big decisions until after I was back.
Mm-hmm.
So my trust was broken.
You know, it was.
With them.
Yeah.
And, you know, I am still to this day pretty sure that half of those OI-affiliated commissioners did not know all the things that were going to happen that day.
Mm.
I think they were given the responsibility of, you know, you take the DEI issue.
Oh, gosh,
and then,
yeah.
You know, Belknap had his role and, you know, on
each. That's
they knew about their one role, but they didn't realize the collective of all of it, only to find out later, you know, and then the way that the crowd was celebrating this as if we had conquered, you know, something that.
Yeah, I know.
You know, like these are our neighbors.
Mm-hmm.
This isn't the enemy. This is our community.
You still have to go out into that community and grocery shop and go to restaurants and go to football games and do all those things, Jacob. Or you can hide. You're not the kind of person that was going to hide.
Well, I was actually pretty, right up in front, you know.
Yeah, always. You're not.
I'm
no.
always standing up in the crowd, and people in Zealand, I think, know us, know mm-hmm. my family. Mm-hmm. And I'm proud of that. I'm proud of the leadership roles that my children have played and my wife and mm-hmm. myself. And we've tried to do the right thing for our community and develop that relationship and trust. And so when I went door to door and some people said, you know, we know you, Jacob Bonema, but what is this Ottawa impact?
Right. We don't know what that is.
Right. And I would say, well, you know, I've met with Joe Moss mm-hmm. and, you know, he's a small business owner. Mm-hmm. He loves the Lord. He loves America. He loves the county. And he just wants to, just like you and I, see tomorrow be better than yesterday. That's kind of, you know, so I put them at ease with it. And then what I mean, I was bamboozled.
I know you were.
I thought that we were going to come in to do good, and then we brought all this chaos. And so now I was like, how do I explain this to the community? Because I told them to trust me. And I mean, I'm just as disappointed as everybody else.
You must have wrestled with that many sleepless nights.
Oh, so we, you know, week one, week two, week three, And I want to be careful here because I've prayed about this a mm-hmm. lot and just said, you know, I do not want to turn people away from public service mm-hmm. or away from faith because they see people using faith in ways that they don't agree with. I want them to love their neighbor. I want them to respect one another. At the same time, you have to call a spade a spade. Mm-hmm. You have to, you know, stand up against mm-hmm. Wrong.
Which you did.
Yeah. So I tried to work with them and talk with them and say, look, here we are. We now have all this going on. Mm-hmm. And I understand your base is like thrilled, but there's a huge number of people that you're not listening to mm-hmm. that are not happy with what they're seeing.
Did that fall on deaf ears?
Absolutely.
Okay.
Yep. And so I worked really hard to try to bring us together, to stay together. I met with the attorneys. I met, you know, to say, hey, you know, even if something as simple as, do you remember, you know, Moss wanted the Coleman Group right out of the gate.
Yeah, I do remember.
And I said, Joe, I said, this is the second meeting. I'm back for it now.
Uh-huh.
Kern had stopped it from getting voted on in the very first meeting. Yep. She said, let's just give it a minute. I came back and I said, Joe, I mean, we're becoming, if we do this, we're becoming the exact same thing that we ran against, mm-hmm. that we're going to have no bid contracts and that we're just going to bring in our friends and we're not going to do it in public.
Right.
It's going to happen behind closed doors and they're just like, we don't stand for that. Why would we now turn around and become that? I said, you know, going back, my first red flag with Joe Moss was in, what was it, December? December, where he called me up and he said, hey, I'm releasing a statement to the press declaring that he's going to be the next chair.
This was before he was sworn in.
This is even before he's sworn in. That was like... And then what happened, you know, at the very first meeting?
Those red flags,
yeah,
man.
I mean, but you've now won. You're supposed to work with these people for
the next
2 years.
Well, you don't want to throw in the towel away.
I've never been around somebody like this before. I've served on lots of different boards. I've been around bad actors. But this guy, wow. And now he's going to be the chair, and I'm going to be serving with him for 2 years. It's not like you can just not, you know, work with that client anymore.
You know? Tried.
Yeah. So going back to this, there's just no movement there. And mm-hmm. so I told the attorneys and also the chair of the Ottawa County Republican Party, mm-hmm. Studebaker, that I was going to be separating from Ottawa Impact because I couldn't condone how they were doing things.
I remember that day.
And you know. So that was the day before I did it, and so then I did it the next day, mm-hmm. and then they put out their press release that they were cutting ties with me. It's like, no, you're not breaking up with us. We're going to break up with you. All right.
Either way, though, had to have been a huge weight off your shoulders.
Yes and no. It's like I changed from one weight to a different weight. But, now I have the burden of proof, I felt.
Personally, well, that's true. You did
to justify why I was.
You had to prove to your constituents.
I was walking away from the thing that I'd ran on.
Yeah,
that
you're
I was,
right.
That's a really tough situation.
It was a really tough position to be in.
Right. And then people are like, "Wait, I thought we liked Joe Moss, or we liked Ottawa Impact, and mm-hmm. but are you not who you said you were? You start getting some of these questions.
Oh yeah, I would imagine you did.
And so I'd say because people would come up with low information. They would say something like, why don't you vote with Ottawa Impact more?
Mm-hmm.
And I would say, hey, I do vote with them a lot. Mm-hmm. You know, most of our votes are unanimous.
Yeah.
So, but there are times
when you don't.
I don't.
Mm-hmm.
I said, can you give me an example where you would have liked me to vote with Ottawa Impact so that we can talk about that?
Mm-hmm.
And it's just like they twitch a little bit and they don't know where to go with that. And I was, okay, let me give you an example. The attorneys.
Mm-hmm.
I said, I did not vote to hire the Kalman Group because mm-hmm. I wanted to see that become a request for proposal to the community,
an right.
open and transparent process where other attorney firms from Ottawa County had an opportunity to bid for that contract mm-hmm. and offer their services. I also felt like in looking into the Kalman Group that their expertise was not in municipal government.
Right.
So I voted against that. Should I have voted for the Kalman Group? Well, I don't know about that. Well, okay, so I would not have voted to hire John Gibbs because while we knew John Gibbs had run for Congress,
mm-hmm.
we don't know what his capabilities are
mm-hmm.
at the county level.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know how much he understands townships from city councils,
mm-hmm.
you know, or to county government. And we're going to give him the keys to the kingdom
right.
and have him be the leader when he's never served in this capacity. Now, he comes out of technology. If I was hiring him to do a job in that space, I'd
yeah,
feel
that'd
much
be
more
different.
Confident.
That'd be different.
But I would like to see other people have an opportunity to apply for the job. Personally, I wanted to see John Shea stick around
mm-hmm.
a little bit so that we could see if that could possibly work out. But I don't have that option anymore.
No, you don't.
So yeah, there is a lot of those decisions that if
yeah.
you actually explain. So then I realized the importance of getting online and explaining my reasoning.
And having a Facebook page where you could do that. Okay,
right.
that's smart. It's very smart that you've done that. Yeah.
So
after every meeting, you would give an update.
I would.
Yeah. As to why you voted. And,
mm-hmm. and that's so important because one of our jobs is to communicate.
Mm-hmm.
Right? It really is. It's mm-hmm. to help guide information into the hands of those that need it so they
right.
can make better decisions, informed decisions. So I see that as one of my big responsibilities as a commissioner. So yeah, that was that day, and now it's, okay, where do we go from here?
Yeah.
And I find myself somewhat thrown off the island, you know, with the majority.
Oh,
at
you
that
were
time.
Kicked off that island, my friend.
And then because of that, you know, we've learned now, but, you know, to live it real time, I couldn't get any information out of John Gibbs.
Right.
I, you know, as a commissioner, my mm-hmm. job is to provide oversight to him. He's my only employee as a commissioner.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm asking for questions, like, what is the status of this Nathaniel Kelly that's supposed to take over for Adeline Hamm?
Mm-hmm.
What is his application at the state? Is it what's going on here?
And you couldn't get any answers.
Zero.
That's really frustrating.
Then Curran tries to get answers because
she can't get them.
She can't get them either.
And she's aligned with Ottawa Impact, and she still can't get those answers.
She can't get them either. They don't trust her. You know, that's
wow.
Very, you know, there are certain people that they trusted and certain ones that they didn't. They didn't trust Kyle Terpstra either. They didn't trust, you know, so you start looking at it and, you know, Lucy, yeah, that's another story. But
that's a whole nother story.
Yeah, but, you know, I, particularly me, I'm trying to get information from
mm-hmm.
my guy,
mm-hmm.
John Gibbs,
mm-hmm.
and he won't respond to phone calls. He won't open his door in the administration building to meet with me. He won't he won't respond to texts. The only time, because unlike John Shea, who had an open door policy,
mm-hmm.
The only time you could actually see John Gibbs is if he happened to be out in the hallway or when he came to a commission.
To the meetings. That's weird.
Yeah.
Wow.
So I asked John during a meeting, what's the status of this?
Mm-hmm.
And he wouldn't answer, but he committed that he would give me an answer after that meeting.
Mm-hmm.
And he didn't.
No.
And another week went by.
Mm-hmm.
And so before the next meeting, I went up to him. I sit next to Curran and I said, you know, have you heard anything? And she said she had not.
Mm-hmm.
And I said, I haven't either. So I want to get to the bottom of this. I think it's disrespectful,
mm-hmm.
you know, to ignore. I don't know where in the world you get to ignore your boss.
Yeah.
You know, where is that acceptable?
Yeah.
So I walked over and I'm standing in between Terpstra and Gibbs.
Mm-hmm.
And I said, John, I'm still waiting to find out what the status is of Nathaniel Kelly and his application. You know, can you give me an update before this meeting begins?
Right.
Because I don't want to do it, you know, during the meeting.
Mm-hmm.
Again. And he just sat there and stared straight ahead. Didn't acknowledge my existence.
That's weird.
Just straight ahead.
Wow.
Now, what I didn't know is that you know, according to Gibbs, Gibbs had been told by Moss to not communicate with us.
I see.
So I'm taking personal offense to Gibbs.
Right.
And he's trying to follow the board, the board chair.
Yeah.
Tough situation.
Oh,
right?
Boy, what a mess.
So I repeat myself again, and he said, it's on my desk. You know, that's where it is. I don't have anything more to say than that. And I said, well, you know, going forward, John, I need you to respond to my text. I need you to respond. You know, you ghosting me like this isn't going to work.
Mm-hmm.
So I need you to actually respond to me. And that's when he turned and looked at me, and he said, get out of my face, dude.
That's what it was.
And I thought, I repeated the words back to him.
Yeah.
And I repeated it, I guess, loud enough that Cosby, you know, heard it.
Yeah.
And she's like three commissioners over.
Because
I was appalled that he would say that. Yeah. And because we're talking business here.
Mm-hmm.
You don't say, get out of my face, dude.
Mm-mm.
So, you know, long story short is I wrestled with that one. I talked to HR about it.
Mm-hmm.
And I said, I just had this experience with our administrator, and I'm his boss. If he's talking to me, and he's also talked to Commissioner Curran in pretty unprofessional ways, he's likely talking to employees like this too.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't want to have seen something and not said something.
Right.
I mean, it was so obvious that even, I think it was WZZM, they had their camera not set up yet, but the reporter was right there. They're working on set it. But he actually went live to talk about, you know, Gibbs. What Gibbs had just said to me, you know. So,
yeah.
I mean, it was a thing, right? And it needed to be addressed. And I talked to HR, and they said, well, you know, the process for this is for you to file a report on it.
Mm-hmm.
And that will compel Gibbs to sit down and have to talk about it with you.
Because
there will be a formal process for that. And I said, there's no other way to just bring us together. We have to go through a formal process.
Mm-hmm.
And nope, that's the process. And I'm an employee. I'm an elected official, but I'm also an employee. And so, and I want to fix this problem.
Mm-hmm.
I don't like to create problems. I want to solve problems.
Mm-hmm.
So we need to fix this communication issue and document it. And then this kind of stuff needs to stop.
Because right.
I also saw at a recent Chamber of Commerce meeting where he treated somebody in the audience pretty unprofessionally as well,
from
my perspective.
Yeah.
So I was like, this has to change.
Sure.
So, 'cause this is not a good look for Ottawa County.
No, it's not.
So long story short is I file that. And I'm thinking HR, from my experience in the private sector, is always a very quiet, you know, something that's handled very discreetly. Well, Moss and Rohde right away make it public.
Oh, boy.
and then they say that I'm abusing my power by reporting this, and then they censure me, you know.
I remember that.
You remember
that's right.
Yeah.
That's
and
right.
I've never been censured for anything.
That's
I don't know.
That's right.
What,
I remember.
Does anybody
oh
know what this means?
Gosh.
And then, you know, then they deliberate for like 2 hours on what my punishment should be because I filed an HR report. At the request of HR.
My gosh.
So I'm just blown away by the new lows and how this is being handled.
Sure.
It's just not something that, you know, John Teeples and I have talked about this. You know, you work in the private sector for decades.
Yeah.
And everybody knows you, you know, and your reputation to be this.
Mm-hmm.
And then you get into politics and the first thing your enemies or anybody that doesn't agree with you tries to do is redefine who you are. Assassinate who you've been for the last 30 years. But then redefine you as now you're this monster. You're not to be trusted. You're fill in the name, a rhino, whatever.
Oh, you know, I hate those
like
names.
All the names.
At any point, though, did you think to yourself, I don't want to do this?
You know, the hardest part of it for me is seeing the pressure and pain that it was on my spouse.
Okay. I could see how that had to have been very difficult for any spouse of a commissioner, seeing you go through that, seeing you have sleepless nights.
Yeah.
I get that.
Yeah.
Yeah. That must have been really hard.
They feel at some level helpless.
Yeah.
You know, when
she didn't sign up for this.
Well, in a way, she did. She would love to get online and like defend her husband.
But she
and
can't
all this,
do
but,
that.
Yeah, you can't.
No, she can't do that.
So, you know, she's a mother bear. She's strong, you know, and she's. And to watch somebody you love be unfairly attacked.
It's hard.
It's really painful.
It is.
I would say it's probably easier to be the person being attacked than to be the person having to watch somebody you love.
Because you can't say anything. You have to just, keep your head up, hold your head up high, and be supportive to that person that is being attacked.
And then you're out in public.
Yeah.
And, there are these attack dogs that will try to, create problems and scenes. And next thing you know, you're reading things online about yourself. And, and that's such a catch-22 as well, social media, because if you let them have the airways, then you give them the opportunity to redefine who you are.
Right.
So at some point, you do have to stand up and say, no, it's what you're saying is absolutely false.
Right.
This is who I am.
Mm-hmm.
This is my issue.
Mm-hmm.
It's not that we voted for change, and it's how we're bringing about
right.
it. It's not that we need new attorneys. It's how we're going about it.
Mm-hmm.
So again, I try to reiterate that over and over. I think the OIs are, they're well-meaning people,
mm-hmm.
right?
Mm-hmm.
That lost their way when it came to governance. They came in and they acted like activists. Okay, that's just, and so that was then, this is now.
Mm-hmm.
Here we are, what do we do? How do we move forward? I find myself, working with anybody that's willing to work with
good.
Me.
That's good.
Right?
Okay.
And sometimes that's Doug Zylstra.
Sure.
when Doug Zylstra had an issue with his transmission, he called me.
Good.
And when I wanted to actually go find out what was going on with the Veterans Administration up in Muskegon County,
mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
I put an invitation out to all commissioners to go with me to go actually talk to them and find mm-hmm. out what their benefits really were
mm-hmm.
versus what we were being told they were.
Mm-hmm.
Zylstra said, let's ride together. Let's go. I'll join you.
Right.
So we went up there together, mm-hmm. like Reagan and Tip O'Neill, right? And
that's funny.
You can disagree with somebody and not be disagreeable.
I agree.
And I think one of my biggest challenges and regrets in this is that it's really hard when you're under the bright lights and, the cameras
mm-hmm.
to when you feel that you're witnessing a real wrong,
mm-hmm.
not to be passionate about
right.
stopping it. And sometimes I come across angrier and more angry than I wish I would, because I'm not an angry person. I'm somebody that likes to be a problem solver.
Mm-hmm.
But the environment by which you go through this public service, you're getting censured, you're getting lied about, you're getting attacked, you just constantly feel like, it's not a pleasure in that situation. And I'm so grateful that we were able to move forward as
for
a
sure.
county.
Yes.
And, at this point, I'm happy to answer all questions today, but I'm looking forward now personally.
You
and,
are.
Absolutely, because I think we all went through this together, just like COVID. Mm-hmm. We'd never been through OI before. We'd never been through COVID before. Right?
You're right.
That's a lot of emotions that I don't want to define who we are as a people.
Mm-hmm.
There are so many good things that are going on in Ottawa County mm-hmm. to celebrate
mm-hmm.
that, the people had their opportunity to kind of figure out what OI was about and what they were about, what they weren't about, and then they voted, right?
Mm-hmm.
And now we have a new board majority, and this new board majority campaigned on transparency.
Right.
They said, hey, the public obviously has questions to ask,
mm-hmm.
and they want to get answers to those questions. So we're going to do everything that we can to provide those answers.
And they did.
And they are. They're delivering on that. And I'm so proud of John Teeples, our chair. He'd never served as board chair of the county. Talk about being thrown into the lions. There's a lot of stuff to learn real fast. We have, over 36 departments. Think about that. I mean, that's a lot of that's a lot of people, a lot of moving parts. We have a over $300 million budget. Over 300,000 citizens. I mean, there's a lot going on with municipalities and things that you'll never see.
Transparency is good, and you're the person to speak about it because you were there in that room for 8 hours. Okay,
yeah. So you want to go to that? Yeah, let's.
Well,
let's
I'm just thinking in my head. Vice chair wasn't there. The vice chair wasn't there. Chair Teeples wasn't there. You were there.
Yeah,
you were there. for 8 hours. You're in a closed session meeting for 8 hours because they want to fire Adeline Hambley. Am I correct on this?
Yeah, and I told them, I said, look, guys, you got to understand, this is before they tried to fire her.
Okay.
I said, her department position has more protections on it than the rest.
Mm-hmm.
If you don't have a reason to fire her, you will lose in court.
Mm-hmm.
We do not want to lose. If we're going to fire that shot, we have to win.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm going to be honest with you guys. If she is, she was just put into that position.
Right.
2 weeks, I think, before we were sworn in.
Right. So she hadn't made any of those COVID decisions.
No.
She just happened to be the wrong place. I get it. Okay.
Right.
Okay.
She was hired by the prior board 2 weeks before we were installed.
Okay.
So what are you going to claim is cause to fire her?
Mm-hmm.
You know, that the court
she's only been on the job 2 weeks
right.
in that position.
Okay. And in the holidays, they don't really do anything those 2 weeks.
Okay, right.
Hardly even meet. We're having Christmas and New Year's.
Yeah,
right?
Okay.
So I said, this is not a good idea.
Uh-uh.
So they really pushed back on me, Cosby especially. You know, my voters want to see that position changed immediately.
We've
got to do that immediately.
Mm-hmm.
And I that's when I went to the slowest, smoothest, fast. You know, this is not the right call from my perspective. I'm one of 11 here, right?
Mm-hmm.
And I represent my 25 to 30,000 individuals. But my business owners, the people that I'm talking to, my circles, don't want to see change take place that fast.
Right.
That was deaf ears. So going to this meeting.
Eight hours you're never going to get back.
Yeah, and that's part of it. I mean, you sign up for all of it.
I guess you do.
The good and the bad.
Yeah, you do.
And when you're sitting there, to be honest with you, it's a lot of hurry up and wait. You know, it's like you're waiting for the attorneys to go and talk to the other attorneys and then come back. So have you ever been through a mediation before?
I have been through mediation, so I know what it is like that. It's a lot of hurry
rooms.
Up and wait. Yeah.
Yeah, so we're kind of like, you know, like jurors stuck in a room.
You are. That's exactly what you are. So yeah. So you're sitting there, and are you thinking to yourself, what are we doing here? what's going through your mind?
Well,
hour after hour after hour.
There's a lot of buildup to this too, right?
Okay.
I mean, because you remember we've been through this whole prosecute. Do you remember when we turned the whole commissioner's room into a courtroom?
Oh, gosh, that's right.
We brought in this retired judge to act as, you know.
Oh, my.
Judge.
I was there that day. That's right. And in fact, I ran into him in the parking lot, and he was just like, oh, I'm exhausted. That's what he said to me.
Yeah.
I said, you ain't seen nothing yet.
Well, and I'm seeing, you know, what the Kalman Group is putting on as far as evidence of why we should be allowed to fire her. And, you know, and I'm thinking this is just very expensive for the people of Ottawa County. This is a circus that I hate to be associated with.
Oh, boy.
But here we are. You know, I'm on the boat. What do I, you know, what's the right thing to do here? So we finally got to the point where they exhausted all their options to try to get rid of her. Now they can't get rid of her. So the only option left is to what? Pay her to go away.
Okay.
Can you think of any other options?
No, not if you exhausted all of them.
Yeah.
If you could, if you, no, you, no.
Yeah. The
There's
court,
nothing else you could do.
The court said you can't fire her.
Okay. Right? The court said you cannot fire her.
Yeah. And then also the person they wanted to hire, which was Nathaniel Kelly.
Yes.
In order to hold that position, I'm grateful for this, you have to have certifications. You have to have a lot in your resume.
I see.
That you boxes to check to be able to serve in that capacity.
Uh-huh.
You can't just come off the street.
And he didn't check any of those boxes.
Maybe
a few of them, but.
Yeah, he didn't check the boxes he needed to check.
That's what I thought. Okay.
So he was, their guy was never going to get approved, which is also a giant. You know,
that was weird. That whole thing was weird, yeah.
And you know, when it was questioned as to who actually looked at Nate Kelly's credentials, you know, Gretchen Cosby was like, well, I'm a nurse, and I know what needs to be done. And you know, like, she's the one that's reviewed it. And I said, well, none of us have seen it.
Mm-hmm.
You know, how do we know it's it? So there was very little information making it to the other half of the board. Plus, you know, we felt like Adeline Hambley had the trust of Lisa Stefanowski and had the trust of the building that, you know, hey, let's work together. And she had expressed that she wanted to work together.
Yeah, so, she didn't want to leave her job.
She loved Ottawa County. She wanted to stay. So
that speaks volumes about her character.
She wanted to serve, you know, and it was amazing to me. And the minutes will come out where you can see, you know, the first offers were not the $4 million number, but they were still millions.
Right, right.
And she turned them down. I couldn't believe it. I'm thinking, there's no non-compete. You can go to Allegan and probably become the health officer there and wait this out and then come back to Ottawa County. I mean, take the money and run if I was her. Why subject yourself to all this? And I can't believe it.
Because
the board majority had the votes to offer other dollar amounts, and they did, and she turned it down. And then she turned it down again. I could, you know, and you know, and then you hear people saying in the room, you know, well, what's it going to take to, like, she, because she kept trying to negotiate a way for her to stay. And I remember a commissioner saying very specifically,
what's it
going to
take?
She needs to understand that she is not going to continue to work here. So she needs to come back with a number that she is willing to walk away with.
Okay.
You know, to leave.
Mm-hmm.
So make sure she understands that.
Okay.
Know? So, yeah. So then the number came back at $8 million. That's what Adeline, you know, had said. And so then, you know, to me, that wasn't a serious number. That was just, you know, kind of like, I'm mad at you're mm-hmm. taking this, that mm-hmm. you're taking something away that she's, you know, when I talk to Addie, she's like, I've worked decades to get to this point.
Yeah.
You know, I love this career field. I want, you know, I've worked really hard. I've earned this,
mm-hmm.
you know, and I love the people that I serve, and I want the opportunity to serve, and they're taking it away. Well, yeah. I mean, you'll see there's 7 pages of minutes that we as a board, as part of this agreement with the Holland Sentinel,
right.
Because we could get done with one more lawsuit, which,
yeah.
Again, John Teeples has done an amazing job this year. We have not picked up one new lawsuit.
I know.
Praise Jesus, right?
Well, here's the thing. Here's the thing. And I know there are people that are going to say...
In 11 months.
There are people that are going to say, you know, are you guys still talking about that $4 million? Let it go. Oh, come on. That's all done. I believe that there deserves to be an ending to this story.
Yeah.
And the truth needs to be told. And I've seen the document. The $4 million was on the table. Okay?
Yeah.
$4 million's on the table. All right? Now, you've got lawyers that got to do a few things here. $4 million's on the table. Do you guys go to dinner? Where do you go? What happens?
Yeah, so they've got an agreement.
Mm-hmm.
You'll see it on page 6 of the minutes.
Okay.
They've got an agreement.
Okay.
And Moss is confirming it. This is the cost of getting this over with.
Mm-hmm.
You'll see him. You know,
and he wants her gone. They want Ottawa Impact wants Adeline Hambly gone.
Yeah, okay. I mean, and right before that, you will see me mm-hmm. Say to the room, I don't see a jury ever awarding Adeline Hambly $4 million
mm-hmm.
for this.
Mm-hmm.
And Steve Kallman, the Kallman Group, mm-hmm. says, I agree with you, Commissioner Bonema.
So we'll be able to read all
the
of
minutes.
This. Oh, okay.
And then right after that, Moss pipes up, this is the cost to get this over with.
Okay.
So, I mean, it is as plain as day in the minutes, which, you know, I'm a high justice guy where
mm-hmm.
When he came out and said that it never happened. You know, if you understand what happened is they came to an agreement
mm-hmm.
and they wanted it all done that day.
But you had already been in a meeting for almost 8 hours,
yeah.
7 hours
it
at that point.
It was in the evening at that point.
Oh, yeah, I would imagine. Right, right, right.
We finally got to a point where, you know, they were willing to offer $4
million.
Mm-hmm. She was willing to accept $4
million. Okay.
I remember Commissioner Miedema saying, I don't want to go home tonight not having this done.
Okay.
And Steve Kallman saying it's going to take a little bit to mm-hmm. finalize. We have it all written down,
okay.
but we need to finalize it into the form of the final document.
Sure.
And she said, well, how about we just all go to dinner for a couple of hours?
Okay.
Is a couple of hours enough for you, Steve? Then we could come back, you know, just recess for a couple of hours, go have dinner, come back and vote this through, sign it, get it done so we can all be done. She was just absolutely, and you know, again, you talked about missing the body language and not seeing all the OI saying, yeah, no, that sounds reasonable. Let's do that. Steve Kallman and his dad both said, you know what, we will get this put together right away and we'll have it all put together for your next Tuesday meeting, which is 7 days away or something. I don't know,
mm-hmm.
but maybe
mm-hmm.
it's even less than that.
I think it was less than that.
It's just a few days from now.
Yeah.
Well, you know, so that's when we emerge from closed session and we come out and, you know, then we hear Joe Moss say, you know, voting to accept the recommendation of counsel that happened, you know, in closed session.
Uh-huh.
But he never mentions the $4 million. So, and I'm like, I told him, I said, if the people of Ottawa County learn that you're spending their money this way, they're going to fillet you up one side and back down the other. This is not how me as a taxpayer wants to see my money spent. This is ridiculous. I was pretty vocal.
I'm lifting my chin up from the floor, you guys, because my mouth is like, you know, okay.
Yeah. I mean, it's millions of dollars for something that doesn't need to be spent. So anyway, yeah.
Okay, so, okay. And here's, and Allison put out a post after you voted on whether or not the meeting minutes would be released. Mm-hmm. It went from there was never $4 million to, well, no money was exchanged. Nothing was signed. It's gone so many places. And I feel like they have a completely different version of what happened. It's very bizarre.
Yeah, well, you know, you can kind of understand it.
How?
Watch it real. So
help me understand.
Because they believe that their base would support them
okay.
in paying this $4 million.
Okay.
I honestly believe that. They think that it was worth whatever it costs
okay.
to get that health officer out of there. It didn't matter if she mm-hmm. wasn't the one. She wasn't the one that was there during
okay.
COVID, but
right,
she,
it didn't matter.
Yeah,
it was more of a statement than anything.
Yeah, and if they can't get Nate Kelly in that seat, they'll find somebody else. But they
okay.
want to control it with another John Gibbs type hire.
Okay,
right,
right.
So it was worth whatever it took to take over the health department.
So then you guys decide. Well, okay, the lawyers need more time. We're going to end this meeting,
yeah.
And then on Tuesday when we meet again, documents will be signed. And,
yeah.
And, okay.
Yeah, we'll get it all done then.
You'll get it all done. Yeah. Okay.
And I'm thinking I'm about to witness a train wreck.
Well,
you know,
I'm sure you weren't even looking forward
yeah.
to that meeting. Next thing you know, the document in some emails or whatever show up in Sarah Leach's mailbox. She takes it. She reads it. I believe she calls some lawyers and some commissioners and said, "Hey, I was told that this happened. I have the documents to prove it. Can you tell me this happened?"
Yeah, I mean, she called me.
She did call you.
Yeah,
okay.
Yeah, she called me and
okay.
said, "Could you confirm that this offer was made?"
Mm-hmm.
And I said, "What's the offer?" And she said, "The number."
Mm-hmm.
And I said, "Where did you hear that number?"
Mm-hmm.
And she says, "Well, I have four other people that have confirmed it already." And I said, "Well, Sarah, if you've got four other people that have confirmed it for you already, then you don't need me to confirm it."
Good answer.
Yeah. And she laughed. She goes, fair enough. And you know, later on, after she, you know, broke the story
mm-hmm.
was out there, I commented on it.
Mm-hmm.
And of course, they want to claim that I was a leak for it or whatever. It's you know, I know the truth.
Yeah.
You know, I'm the one that, you know, looks at myself in the mirror and,
mm-hmm.
you know. But at the same time, there was a lot of people in that room, and a lot of people were upset with what was going down because
wow.
it was so irresponsible.
And like you say, you can't, when you read minutes, you can't read body language.
Right.
Right now, had it been recorded like the other minutes, you know, you can hear the sighs and the,
yeah.
and you know, but when you're reading minutes, you don't see that. So the story breaks. Sarah breaks
yeah.
the story. Then commissioners are getting called, and then
yeah.
all this backpedaling
Moss
starts.
Moss and Rohde and Miedema, they're all finding out that their constituents do not support
this. Do not support it.
Like,
okay.
This is an abuse of their tax dollar.
Mm-hmm.
They're like,
so then there's backpedaling on it.
This isn't real, is it?
Yeah.
And I'm talking about the people who write the checks over there.
Okay.
Right?
Mm-hmm.
And they're back. And so all of a sudden, they've got to, I guess, develop amnesia. I don't know.
Well, it's easy to
act as if it never happened.
Yeah, it's easy to point your finger at the media, and you know, it's easy to do that. But we know that the $4 million was on the table, and we have the documents to prove it. And once these minutes come out, be interesting to go through those minutes.
Yeah.
And 7 pages, you said? Eight pages?
Yeah. It's 7 pages, and
yeah.
you know, I'm giving my perspective on
sure.
them, and you know, I did not bring them here today or
mm-hmm.
anything like that. The
mm-hmm.
judge is going to release them
yep.
here very soon.
Yep.
You'll be able to see them, but
mm-hmm.
But yeah, page six, it's in black and white.
Yeah,
you know, I think the main thing for people on this, just
yeah,
to put
well,
a bow on it,
that's what I want to do. How
yeah.
what do we do to put a bow?
What do
is
we do
it?
With this?
What do you want to see happen?
You know, we ran again on transparency and that we wanted to get these questions answered for the people.
Right.
I think we've done that now.
Okay.
I think we've done what we needed to do to get that out there. And we've been honest with the people. I think they can see that.
Mm-hmm.
The number one thing that they needed from this is to understand how their elected officials handled that situation.
Okay.
So that they could decide, do they agree with voting for them again in the future?
I see.
Or not?
Okay. Yeah.
Are these the decision makers that we want in charge guarding our scarce tax dollars?
Yeah.
Right? Or not?
Right.
You know, and so this is going to help them become a more informed voter in the future because there is nothing conservative. For conservatives, they want to see somebody conserve their tax dollars.
Mm-hmm.
There is nothing conservative about that.
Yeah.
You know, there's nothing competent about putting somebody like Nathaniel Kelly in that seat versus you know, somebody else that with competence. So the decision making, and then you could look at Epperson and Wetmore
and all of that,
Gibbs
and
all the other hires that came along the way, and there's others, but I'm gonna leave some names off the list.
Yep.
And, but those are the ones. I mean, you can see the trail of what I would consider to be incompetent decisions and the skirting of authority and not governing for all and representing the best for all. And this is, again, my opinion. You know, I'm elected to give it.
Yeah, you are. So, and you were in that room for 8 hours,
and I was in there, and I watched it go down, and I called it out for what it is during the meeting. When we came out, I voted against it, you know, and I felt like I'd just seen a bank get robbed.
I believe it.
Yeah.
Doug Zylstra, Commissioner Zylstra, doesn't want to talk about this too much. Or did he? How did he vote on releasing the closed session minutes? Did he vote for it or against it?
Against it. Yeah.
I guess you're in here. I got to ask you. Well, I guess I should ask you. Why? Well, he did put a statement out as to why, but I feel
because
like
it's a one-off. Is what how
I understand it, but it's a story that needs to be told.
I see this as, you know, when something is so extraordinary, you know, this is not normal. You know, this is not negotiating for a land purchase or something of that nature. This is something that's much, it's just different than all of those things.
Mm-hmm.
And so when something is different, it requires a different response.
Yeah.
And I feel a very strong loyalty to Jacob the citizen, if I'm out there, right? To get the answers to these questions. If I'm wanting to be an informed voter, I need these answers. And so I feel compelled to make this available. I said some things behind closed doors that I'm not proud of. You know, you get emotional and passionate.
Oh, I'm sure. I'll read about it. Yeah.
You're fighting for your side. And,
yeah.
And so sometimes you say things.
Sure.
And, you know, it's going to expose the good and the bad of the whole situation. But at the end of the day, I stand by my final decision, my vote, and I'm happy to defend it and explain it to people that I thought this was a gigantic misuse of taxpayer dollars and was the wrong thing to do. So, you know, what I want to see happen here going forward is for people to get some answers so they can bring some finality to this. They can now make better decisions going forward of who these people are, you know. I think it's important to know whether or not your elected officials are being honest with you or not. I think this exposes a lot of that.
I think that it does. And I will certainly extend an invitation to have any Ottawa Impact Commissioner here in the WGHN studios. No problem. I think when you sit face-to-face with someone and you really start talking, you find you have more in common than you don't.
Yeah.
But these quick little sound bites and 10-minute interviews,
well,
it's not enough time.
Everything's got to be red and blue.
Oh, and please.
Yeah. You know, we're a community.
I know.
Right? Yeah, we're neighbors. And there's a lot more than just two colors at stake here.
Yeah.
So let's figure out how to work together and not just be, well, this person says you're bad, so I'm just going to go with whatever they say. You know, why don't you decide for yourself? Why don't you sit down, reach out? I've always tried to do my very best to make myself available in the community and sit down and answer questions with people that agree with me and don't agree with me. And, you know, it breaks my heart when I find out about these stories where, you know, I know one very specific where a marriage has been broken over this. And I think politics should not be this divisive.
No, please.
Yeah. And there's kids involved. And I just go, gosh, that family unit's broken because they couldn't agree on this.
I know.
It's so sad.
It is
sad. And unfortunate. So we need to move forward to heal.
Yeah.
And so I hope by me participating in this with you to kind of re-talk about this, you know, when the meeting, you know, was going on, the closed session meeting, mm-hmm. you know, there was a lot of thoughts expressed. You know, Bergman had a lot to say, mm-hmm. you know, myself, Zylstra.
Sure.
Curran was probably the most vocal, trying to find some middle ground, some reason. You know, we're trying to be reasonable.
Mm-hmm.
And when you're trying to be reasonable and the other side absolutely does not want to hear it mm-hmm. or consider it.
Mm-hmm.
And matter of fact, you can hear it in the Epperson, I think it was in the Wetmore negotiation. Mm-hmm. You hear Commissioner Cosby, it's already been released. You can go mm-hmm. back and listen to it. But she says, if they're not going to go along with our lower number, then why won't we just vote through the higher number? We have the votes to do it. If they're not going to meet us at, which I thought was the higher number was crazy outrageous. The lower number was still outrageous. You've got, you know, half the board, not quite half, the minority saying, hey, you know, this doesn't make sense. Why are we giving this person this golden parachute? He's only been here for, you know, a very short amount of time.
Yeah.
What are we doing here? And they're saying, hey, if they're not going to go through the lower number, we're just going to. How is that advocating for the taxpayer?
Mm-hmm.
How is that being conservative? You know, for me, if I'm Epperson or Wetmore and they, you know, like to show themselves to be, they're real Republicans and
mm-hmm.
real
mm-hmm.
How can you look yourself in the mirror after you've demanded, you know, to get paid out like this for the amount of service they gave to the county?
Yeah, I don't know.
It's unreasonable.
I don't know. I think that this was an important interview to do. I think that this is an important story. People want to know how this all went down. And I appreciate you taking the time to speak with us. You know, moving forward, it'll be up to the board whether or not they want to, What Commissioner Moss did was not necessary. It wasn't illegal.
No, he had the votes.
Okay.
Yeah, okay. He had the votes.
Okay.
Now, I have questions, you know, specifically about the Epperson investigation.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's been documented that Moss said that Nate Wolf, the attorney, mm-hmm. did the investigation mm-hmm. and made recommendations and actually handed us a document in that closed door session saying mm-hmm. that this was the work, this was the recommendation. You know, and then later on we find out from Nate Wolf, who wasn't allowed to attend, that he did no such thing.
That story's not over with, by the way, because Nate Wolf, he's got to protect himself and who he is as a lawyer.
Sure.
And he's been painted into that he did something that he didn't do. So, yeah.
So where did that document come from? Who wrote those numbers of, you know?
Okay, who answers those questions, though?
Well, I mean, the only people that would know that from my perspective would be Joe Moss, maybe some of the attorneys, maybe Sylvia.
But can you bring that up in a meeting and say, well, wait a minute, can we backpedal to the... No, you can't.
No, I mean, this is kind of where we're at. So the people now know you know, Joe said this and Nate's saying that.
And then it's up to them.
They want to believe.
It's up to them then. The information is out there.
Yeah,
however people want to perceive it, that's up to them.
Right.
I see. All right.
Yeah. And what I'll tell you is there was a lot. I sit with John. Mm-hmm. As John is the... John Teeples, our chair of the board, but he's also the chair of the committee that handles all the litigation against the county.
Okay.
And I'm his vice chair.
Okay.
To help him settle all this litigation.
Mm-hmm.
You know, these are challenging lawsuits.
Wow.
And we only have one left. Out of all that we were, we've resolved so much of it. And
mm-hmm.
John's leadership has been critical for that. You know, Josh Brueger, I don't think we say enough good about him.
Mm-hmm.
He's been working on the Appointment and Alignment Committee, mm-hmm. too, mm-hmm. because there's all these subcommittees that
I know.
The communities serve on. And he has been cleaning up so many little messes that have been allowed to survive for, in some cases, decades.
Jeez.
And just clean that all up. He's done a fantastic job there. When I'm at the farmer's market, he comes down and, you know, we talk and, you know, Bergman comes down.
Yeah.
And, you know, like, these are good people. They love the community. They want to leave it better than they found it. Mm-hmm. You know, they truly do. I see it in their eyes.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I hope they feel that from me too. That's that's what we're here for.
Well, I'd like to say that I am moving forward. I believe in the good in people, and, you know, this story has been told, and now we're going to move forward, and it's up to however people want to think about it. They can think whatever they want, and you got to work with these people for a long time.
Yeah, we've got 3 more years together.
And you you do agree on a lot of things. You do vote in unison.
The vast majority of our...
That's what Josh Brueger said. Commissioner Brueger and Vice Chair Hitz, he had pointed that out. Look, the vast majority, it's just, there's a lot of wedge issues.
Well, and the thing is that the wedge issues are issues that are not necessarily even under our authority.
I know.
Right? And that's frustrating, too, because we're there to take care of the business of the county.
And then it gets sidetracked, and then it's easy for, and I'll admit, it's easy for the media to pick up on a soundbite or something. It just is.
It sells airtime,
well,
right?
I get it. It's compelling. It's compelling, and I understand how that works. It's so nice to have you in here.
Thank you.
Would you be willing to come in, like, maybe every 2 or 3 months just to get a different perspective of what's going on?
I'm happy to be.
I'd love that.
I appreciate the offer. And this is absolutely the role of a commissioner is to continue to communicate.
Because I've got Brueger comes in and Kyers will come in. I'll rotate with those two, but Phil doesn't get up too early in the morning, so
it's okay.
8:45 is early for them. I'm like, my show's halfway done.
He's earned that right. He's been a old farmer. He's spent way more hours in the dark than we ever have. So
thank you for the big bear honey.
Oh, you bet.
I'm so excited to try that pumpkin. Oh, that's awesome.
Yeah.
So what does your day look like today?
Well, I go from here.
Yeah, where do you go? What do you do? Who you see?
My very next meeting is with, do you know Jeff Nienhuis?
Yes.
Yeah, so Jeff Nienhuis has been promoting a program that teaches trades to young people.
This is incredible.
It's called Route. Are you familiar with Route?
No, I'm not.
Okay, so 14 to 18-year-olds.
Really?
Learn from retired tradesmen how to do plumbing, how to do HVAC, how to do electrical. So they are doing some amazing things. We have a grant that is potentially able to fund some of their work because it's meant to engage, I don't want to call them elderly, but, you know, retired and youth.
Well-seasoned.
Well-seasoned, yes. They've got this wisdom to share with youth, and this program is just thriving. It's called Route, so check it out.
I got to get them in the studio. I'd love to talk to them.
We got
to
do it. So
okay, let's
I'm going to be filling out a grant application with them so they can get more tools, more supplies, keep teaching these young people these
because you need the tools and the supplies. You can't say, well, kids, you need to go into the trades, but then you got to show them how they can go into the trades.
Yes.
We got to start doing that.
And the program is established, and it's being supported by the community.
That's awesome.
And so Jeff is helping lead that.
Very cool.
It's located in the lower level of Family Church in Zealand.
Okay.
So there's it used to be the Huntington Bank building.
Oh, wow.
I don't know if you're familiar with it, but it's a huge building.
Wow.
Their lower level was not being used, and so they went in there and converted into, you can see how to build a bathroom or to rewire a box, all the things. So it's pretty impressive. So
how are the grandkids?
Well, I keep collecting them every time I
turn
around.
How many do you have?
I have 3 boys, and we just got our little girl. And, my oldest daughter is adopted from Ethiopia.
Yeah.
And she was adopted when she was 11. And at that time, she was older than the other 4 kids that we had. And so she instantly became the oldest in the family. But she's married and has 2 little boys, and they live in Holland. Then my next son is actually home right now. He lives in Africa with his wife.
Yes.
And they came back to have their little girl.
Yes.
And he's also getting, actually right now, I can't wait, I'm going to find out if he passed his commercial pilot's exam.
Oh.
But he has been working so hard to study and train and hundreds of hours in the cockpit.
Wow.
I went up with him the other day, and he was showing me the maneuvers that he's got to have nailed for his exam. And we're maxing out the G limit in the airplane.
Isn't it fun? Isn't it fun being up there? I love it.
He's killing the engine. He's like, yeah, we got to simulate a crash here.
Oh, I love it, though.
Yeah. And then my next son just got married. We've had 5 weddings in 5 years.
Oh, my gosh.
I didn't plan it that way, but my wallet is literally on fire. So, it's been great to see the family double in size and then some. And then the next son just bought a house with his wife and their little boy in downtown Zeeland.
Oh, nice.
So they are a four-minute walk from our front door to their front door. And their little boy is just the picture of like a Gerber baby. So that's just so fun.
It's fun, isn't it?
It makes you smile. Yeah. And then our youngest daughter also works in Africa.
Mm-hmm.
And she's over there with her husband. And, you know, this is interesting. She has always wanted to help with human trafficking.
Sure.
Since she was probably 11 or 12 when she learned about it.
Wow.
She learned about these ladies that work in the brothels over there.
Mm-hmm.
And so her normal day is to go meet with those ladies, love on them, encourage them, share the hope that they have in a faith in Jesus, and teach them a skill, work with them to find another way to make money so they can leave that lifestyle. And the stories are unreal.
Yeah.
And I asked her, I said, they have you know, pimps that, you know, are running the brothel. I said, don't they see you as a threat? Because, you know, they're pretty successful in training these ladies to leave.
Yeah.
And she says, no, they have so many other women that want to work that there's an endless supply. But sometimes it's something as simple as a debt that they can't pay.
Yeah.
And so this is the only way they can figure, and it might be $30.
Oh my gosh.
And they're trapped. That might as well be $30,000, you know, to people in that scenario. So she lives a life of service, and you know, it's as a father to get a phone call, Dad, I had the most amazing day at the brothel.
Yeah, isn't that something, though?
That's not something anybody
Isn't that something,
but
though?
What a story, right?
Wow. I mean,
and you see, she'll do videos with them, and I encourage you, Faith Boersma, Levi Boersma. She's my youngest.
Mm-hmm.
I always joke that one day I'll probably end up working for her because she's just so powerful. She's just a great personality.
Wow.
Yeah,
so your kids walk the walk and talk the talk, too.
They're doing
amazing things. They do.
Yeah.
And I've said that to you off the air. You walk the walk and talk the talk, and that's good. That's good with me. That's a thumbs up with me, man.
Oh, good for
I appreciate that.
Thank you.
Man, an hour and 27 minutes covering what happened over the last 2 years. Two and a half years.
Yeah.
You must be exhausted.
It's funny, you know how you watch presidents turn gray during office? I've seen myself do the same. I have less hair and more gray. You know what? It's public service, and you sign up for all of it. And hey, I'm proud to serve Zeeland. I hope they feel I've done it honorably, and I want to be a force for positive and, again, make tomorrow better than yesterday. That's really my goal. And it doesn't matter if you come to me red, blue, purple, green, whatever.
Mm-hmm.
It doesn't, you know, like, let's figure out what your need is. I want you to feel heard, and then I want to give you action items or steps that you can take to get to where you're trying to get. That's my goal, period.
Thanks for being here.
Yeah, thank you, Mary Ellen.
I appreciate it. And thanks for the honey, too.
Hey, enjoy it. Yeah, bigbearhoney.com.
Love it.
There's a bunch of gifts on there for the holidays. So.
Yeah.
Come to the Christ Kindle in Grand Rapids.
Oh, I will. I'll see you there for sure.
Yeah. Oh, and then, you know, the Cursed Market in downtown Holland.
And I haven't been to that. Are you guys there, too?
We are both of them.
He's everywhere.
We're in Frankenmuth as well. They got a whole Christmas scene as well. So
There's no stopping you guys. I learned a lot in the last hour and a half, and I thank you for being here and sharing it. And it was a nice way to kind of wrap up what happened, and it's all there, and people can take a listen to the interview and decide for themselves, and we move forward from here.
We do. Hey, you know what? We've traveled this trail, and we've dealt with it, and you know, I think the future looks bright.
I hope so.
Let's walk into it.
I hope so. Thank you for being here.